Hey, this is Serena Telly, and you're watching CMS TV.
From the 1989 surprise attack release, it is Tora Tora with Guilty, going out by request to Jeff, also known as JRAD7080 on the Rumble chat and the locals.
Okay.
So one of our members making a request there. We also heard Deep Purple there with Never Before from the Machine Head release for Jackal in the chat room. We heard Metallica with Creeping Death, which that one definitely kicked ass.
Hell yeah.
I haven't heard that one in a while, so it was especially a good one to hear that one.
And, My second favorite Metallica tune of all time.
Really? Creeping Death, huh?
Yeah, number one, Disposable Heroes. Number two, that one.
All right. Perfect. So who the heck wanted that one? Let me see here real quick if I could look it up. Who the hell was it? Sorry if I missed your name here, but I can't find it.
It was Ass Kicker 310. That's no, who it was.
It was Jim Baldiff.
Okay.
He wanted to hear it as an Easter request. So Creeping Death.
Well, it was perfect. Loved
Jesus,
it.
Jesus was hearing footsteps behind him.
That's right. Sing and die by my hands.
As they took him into custody and hung him on a cross.
That's right.
I think we'll have to play some Skid Row tonight, Hung Like Jesus.
Yeah, that it. Dude, that's the guy they should call. The Pin Siren guy.
Exactly. the low-budget Skid Row.
Still was as good as anything Skid Row ever did.
I agree.
Including the whatchamacallit, the Grindwall record.
Yeah, I agree.
That Pin Siren record kicks ass.
Very solid. Very solid record.
That was on the Kivel Empire, if I remember right.
The Kivel Empire record release. Is he still around, John Kivel?
I don't know that he's putting out a lot of music now, because why? But I see his name pop up every once in a while. You know, I just see him. I'll see him comment on something on Fuckbook or, you know, every once in a while I see his name, but I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's still doing the Empire or not, but
okay.
He had a good run.
Yeah. Here's a guy who had a dream and a hope to, you know, break into the music business. And, you know, he had a lot of artists, you know, yeah. He had a lot of artists.
He had a few good ones. A few really good ones.
On his Kivel record label.
Mm-hmm.
And we had him on the show here a few times, and he used to take a little bit of offense when I used to joke about him running up Interstate 95, stopping at the rest area, selling his CD out of the trunk of his car.
Right.
You know, just kind of making jokes like that.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't like that, but he wanted to be considered universal music or whatever.
Yeah, he wanted to be a player.
That's right. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Pin Siren was a great band. Bombay Black, I believe, was on that label at one point, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
And that's another really good band, too, with that You Suck.
Yeah, You Suck. Yep. So, yeah, he had some good bands on there. I mean,
he did.
You know, the guy was a little independent music guy and put his money where his mouth was, as it were, and, had a little record label and signed these bands and pushed them and promoted them and did whatever he could to, you know, be a record label.
Sure.
And you know, whatever that means in this day and age.
Yeah.
Well, to be a record label.
I don't know what that means today. But
yeah. I mean, Frontiers Music, obviously, they put out a lot of different artists and they sign just about everybody who is fairly legitimate.
That's a sinking ship.
Well, I know that, but everybody knows that.
Well, I mean, everybody quit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's people who are in the business know all about Frontiers Music.
Mm-hmm.
They know all about it.
Yeah, their biggest names. I mean, Alessandro quit, and Alessandro quitting is a huge deal because he wrote fucking every record. So him quitting, Gioeli quit with Hardline. They're not on Frontiers anymore.
I mean, you know, Frontiers put out and distributed Journey.
I'm pretty sure they're not there anymore.
Not, but I'm just saying that they did. I think yeah. they actually had the band Chicago for one record, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, they had Whitesnake.
Yeah.
You know, Dokken was on there for one record.
Yeah. A million you know, years ago, Broken yeah, Bones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've had some names. I mean, yeah, then they've had, you know, break off solo artists from various bands
with
their solo stuff.
Yeah, and they've done all those throw together bands, the Revolution Saints and stuff right. like that. Yeah, right. I mean. They've done a lot of stuff, but that is a total sinking ship at this point.
Well, there's no money to be made. That's the problem. There's just no money to be made. You know, they pay in advance to these bands, and that's basically the only amount. That's the only money that they ever see.
Yeah.
This advance, whatever that advance is, whether it's 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 or whatever, and that's it.
It just seems like now, though, they're not even putting out like recognizable music. Now it's all, and I have nothing bad to say about this artist, but I'm going to throw it out there just as a name. It's all, instead of where it used to be like Jack Blades, now it's Cassidy Paris. Nothing against Cassidy Paris. She's cute and she could sing, but she's Cassidy Paris. She's never done shit.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I mean, she's a nice girl. I mean, I've chatted with her, but she's nice, but she hasn't established herself yet. And that's the only emails I'm getting these days from Frontiers. Lots and lots of that.
Well, trying to break an artist, I guess, huh?
Yeah, but not what always made Frontiers was they were always trying to break artists in between having big stuff. And, you know, so it was like, okay, well, you could do the new Lynch Mob record, and then you can also do this one.
Right.
You know, and a lot of journos like myself would do that.
They piggyback new artists off the name brand artists.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, that's kind of the trade-off, and we all know that, and we're all willing to do it. But now it's like, you know, and it's... When it's 14 bands in a row that you've never heard of, and then you go to their Spotify and they have like 41 plays this month, it's like, dude, come on, really? You know, am I really going to do research for a fucking half-hour interview with the fucking screaming nobodies? I'm just not going to do it. But, well, dude, I have one last topic for the night before I give it to you.
All right.
And it's only because I need to know, what are you doing next Friday?
I will be in El Paso, like this coming Friday?
Yeah, on the 5th.
I'll be in El Paso, Texas.
That is unfortunate. What's in El Paso, Dokken?
Yeah, I'm on the road. Well, I was going to bring it up in next segment, but okay. I will be on the road for those of you who are CMS fans in Texas. I will be in El Paso next Friday at Speaking Rock.
Okay.
And I will be in Banderas, Texas, Saturday.
Okay.
It'll be Dokken, Jack Russell's Great White, Bullet Boys, for both of those shows, I believe.
Okay.
So I am flying out on Thursday afternoon and coming back Sunday.
All right. I wasn't aware of that, but okay.
You were aware.
I was aware, but I just didn't write it down. So
yeah, I sent you an email actually. So
you did?
Yeah.
When
you asked me about the Minnesota show a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't write it down, so therefore it just went right through my head.
Yeah. So for those of you who are in our Texas demographic, I will be in El Paso and San Antonio / Banderas, Texas on Friday and Saturday, this coming Friday and Saturday.
Okay. Very cool.
Just pre total eclipse of the sun.
There you go. Nice. Well, it's unfortunate that you won't be home Sunday, because there's a huge show that you should be attending. Maybe.
Well, I get home, I get back at 4.
No, this is on Friday.
Oh, Friday. Okay.
It's on Friday. This might convince you to cancel your plans. This is big. Friday at the Arcata.
Yes.
The other voice of Rat, Juan Cruchier, is playing.
I'm aware of that.
The other voice of Rat.
Yeah, he's the backup. He's the Jeff Pilson of Rat.
In 40 years of Rat, there's never, not one motherfucking time, been one person, one, that's ever said, dude, I got to get out to that show. Juan Cruchier is going to be there, the other voice of Rat.
Well, he did that a few years ago prior to he and Stephen Piercy doing a version of Rat with the guys. And he was out there under that whole Juan Cruchier, you know, the other voice of Rat. He did that for a little bit, and then he got caught up in that whole lawsuit that Blotzer was bringing. And
right.
So he had to stop doing that, and then he and Cruchier and Piercy went out as a version of Rat together, and then he and Piercy fell out. And,
right.
You know, the whole shebang-a-bang, but... You know, he's out there singing the Rat songs.
What can that even draw? Honestly.
10 people?
I don't think it could draw 10. Do you really think 10 people would? Are there 10 hardcore enough Rat fans to go see Juan and a bunch of other guys play Rat songs?
Well, I don't know the answer, but, you know, he had a... See, I put Juan Cruchier in the same category as I do Jeff Pilson and Michael Anthony.
Sure. Well, Michael Anthony is at least a legitimate voice.
No. But what I'm trying to say is that their impact in the music of their original band was... strongly felt when it came to doing the backing vocals.
You think Juan was in that category?
For Rat, yes.
I disagree 1,000,000%.
You don't think Juan's voice was a factor in the Rat music when it
absolutely came to- No. Absolutely no.
Not at all.
I've never thought that ever one time.
Yeah, I did.
I only have ever thought of Stephen Piercy.
No, I'm talking about the backing vocals.
No, I know that. I just never...
And the harmonies.
Give me a song. Give me a song where I should pay it more attention. Round and Round?
How about Back for More?
Back for More. I mean, comparing his work to...
Well, I'm just
as far talking, as I'm not comparing apples to apples. I'm saying to compare I'm the just impact saying, just to talking, Michael Anthony. No,
I'm talking about filling out the vocals in like the harmony parts, the harmony parts like Jeff Pilson did with Dokken, or Michael Anthony did with Van Halen, Juan Cruchier did with Rat. I mean, is he a lead singer caliber? No, but his vocals meshed very well with Stephen Piercy in the harmony section.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying he didn't mesh. I'm saying Michael Anthony made Van Halen songs better.
And I think
could have done the Juan Cruchier backing vocal.
I'm not saying that nobody can do it. Like, well, Chris McCarville currently talking.
Yeah.
His backing vocals do very well live with Don, and so does Mark Bowles is the same way, but when it came to the recorded music, I think that Juan's backing vocals made a difference.
All right, we got to listen to a little now. Now this is turning into much more of a thing than I thought it was going to be. Right. I got to hear this.
It's just my opinion.
All right, let's hear.
Are we waiting on something?
Oh, duh.
We're not hearing
it. Maybe if I present it. I'm hearing it. It sounds great.
All right.
Let me move forward a little. Now, see, I'm listening to that, and I'm thinking that if Juan wasn't there, you could literally have Bobby do the same thing, yeah, and it would be the same.
I don't think so.
You think he makes that much of a difference?
I'll tell you where I heard the difference for the first time.
Okay.
Back in 20, boy, I want to say it was like 2015, I think it might have been 2014. Mm-hmm. 2015 or something, when the original Rat got back together and they headlined M3, Juan joined the band for the first time in years.
Okay.
And sang M3, and it made a huge difference, you know, in their live performance. It was like, oh, holy shit, I forgot the difference that Juan made in filling out the vocal, you know, to bolster Stephen Pearcy's vocal. Mm. Same thing with Jeff Pilson and Mick Brown, because they just had this harmony thing that just isn't duplicated. Same way with Michael Anthony and singing with David Lee Roth. You know, he just had this thing, you know, that just helped the song. It just made it fuller.
Hmm.
It's my opinion.
I'll take your word for it. I never thought it ever, and I saw Rat a bunch of times. I never thought of Juan, ever.
But I never think of Juan as, oh, man, he sang that song or sang, you know, never thought that.
What, do you want to hear him sing? I found a video. I have no idea on this video, but I found Rat's Juan Cruchier singing Rat, Lack of Communication.
All right.
Would you like to hear that?
Go ahead.
All right, let's pull that up here, and let's see. Rat, Juan Cruchier. Rats. There we go. Look at that. Seeing this, don't you want to cancel your docking plans?
I guess he's playing with Lynch Mob.
Yeah, on Lynch that Mob, show.
They're playing that night.
Yeah, Lynch Mob and Juan's Rat, or right. Juan, the other voice of Rat.
Right.
Jesus.
Well, he definitely is the backup singer.
Yeah. Yeah, he's less consequential than Bobby and Rat, to me.
All right. Well, obviously, because of, what's his name? Crane. Robbie Crane took over for him forever.
Yeah. And nothing was missed. There wasn't a did you feel like you were not getting as good of a Rat show when Robbie was there?
No, not at all. But until you hear the difference, then you go, oh, that's an element that certainly was missing.
All right.
I'm not saying that he's a better bassist or not a better. No. It's not his. It was just the combination of their vocals. That's all.
Well, I think we're gonna agree to disagree because right. I just think anybody could do that. Dude, Eric does backing vocals and sounds exactly the same as those songs sound exactly the same as when Rat does them.
Right.
At least to me, maybe I'm not heady enough to, maybe I don't put enough focus on it or something. I just listen and like.
Well, one of the things that Eric does superbly, aside mm-hmm. from his ability to sing, you know, backing vocals.
Yeah.
He has the Warren D. Martini sound.
Oh yeah.
He has that sound.
Mm-hmm.
Now what's his name? Monaco brings to the table. I have no idea.
He's the virtuoso guy. I don't know.
I mean, you know, granted, he's obviously a competent player, but does he make a big difference in Stephen Piercy's, lineup? In my opinion, not so much.
Yeah.
But Eric has that the Martini sound.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny can play. I don't want to shit on him totally. He can play. He's a
competent player.
Yeah.
But I'm like you in this category. It's like, well, can another competent player take Johnny's place?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So that's just all I'm saying.
No, I agree.
I think that a certain combo of players, they just have a certain chemistry.
Right.
And I think that Juan and Steven had a good chemistry in Rat when it came to a certain tone or sound when they vocalized together.
Okay. But not good enough to cancel your doc implants.
No. I'm already committed to that. I'm kind of relied upon to be there. So
let's just for the sake of argument.
Yes.
The docket shows get canceled tomorrow.
Yes.
Are you instantly calling the Arcata to get yourself some tickets to see the
experience? Call Ron Onesti and say, hey, dude, hook me up. And
I know you could. I'm saying would.
For the show?
Yeah. Would you go to this show?
Yes, I would.
You would go see Juan's Rat.
I could go see that. If I was reported, well, number one, I know George.
Forget and, George. I'm talking would you want to see Juan's Rat?
What I would go in order to report here to the show about the show.
Okay.
I would do that.
Sure.
But I know George, so I could easily go to the Arcata and see the show. Meet up with Juan, meet up with George, and powwow with those guys if I wanted to.
Sure. My question is still, would you want to?
Would I make the trip just for the sole purpose that, oh, I got to see this? No.
Yeah.
But would I do it if I was here in town and I was going to bring a story to the show about my experience going to see Juan's Rat. I would do that.
All right.
I would do that.
See, if this was playing at the Roxino, there's not a chance in fucking hell I would go to this.
No.
And that's 5 minutes from my house.
Right. But I would go just for shits and giggles. I would say, hey, Sal, you want to go hang?
And he'd be like, yeah, can I drink like 33 beers first?
And I would say, hey, Taylor, I'm making the trip out to the Arcata. You want to go? And I would just make a event out of it.
Right.
You know, but would I just go because I had a burning desire to go see that? No, of course not.
Yeah. It's going to stink if it even, I'm still not convinced these dates are happening. I'm convinced that there's some legal reasons why this shit is announced. I really am. And I won't get into that because let's just say maybe I heard stuff, but,
Well, I'm sure, being involved with someone who's close to the Rat camp who, would know a little bit of something about something.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that Eric told me anything.
I just said being close to somebody who's in the Stephen Piercy camp. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I've heard nothing from nobody. and I'm leaving it there. But
well, this is what I'm seeing as far as the Arcata shows. Lynch Mob with Juan Crucier, Nazareth with Red Rain,
right?
Jeff Tate, Mike Tramp, Vinny Appice's Sabbath Nights with Angel.
Now, these are just shows or shows you're planning to go to?
No, these are the shows coming to the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, Illinois.
Okay.
This is what's booked. Honeymoon Suite, which you interviewed.
Yeah.
With Helix, both Canadian bands.
All right.
Jack Russell's Great White with the Bullet Boys, which I will be with this coming next weekend.
Okay.
And a Cinderella tribute.
Tribute?
A tribute.
Mm-hmm. Is that just Tom Kiefer?
No, it's a tribute to Cinderella.
Yeah, I know. So is Tom Kiefer these days. I know.
So, all right. So that's what people can see if you live in the, you know, Illinois area and like to go to the Arcata.
Sounds like that's the place.
Ron Onesti puts a lot of money and, you know, resources into his bands and entertainment that he brings to the Arcata. Oh, okay. Which, by the way, I think you're going to be very proud of this.
Yeah.
Myself and my two nephews are going to go see Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience.
You will have a ball.
So we have tickets. We have secured our tickets to see Jason Bonham at the Honeywell Center in Wabash, Indiana.
Okay. Wow. Is that close?
He's only playing like two U.S. shows. I think the rest of them are Canadian shows.
Okay.
And for some reason, he's swinging down through Wabash, Indiana.
Where is that compared to where you are? Is that far?
About 100 miles east of me.
Like a two-hour drive.
On a Sunday night.
Sunday night? Wow.
A Sunday night.
Are you going to take off on Monday?
No, I'm going to drive back home.
Jesus, you are fucking amazing.
Yeah, dude, I work for a living. I make a good living. I enjoy what I do, but I'm, you know, I do what I do.
You are literally going to get home at 2 and turn and burn at 6:30.
Well, the thing is that Wabash is an hour ahead of me. So I actually gain an hour.
Okay. So it's not as bad. That's
no. Good. So I'll get home about midnight.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
midnight.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. So, so we've secured tickets to go see Jason Bonham's Experience.
Very cool.
The Zeppelin Experience.
By the way, is Grinder Nig going to be playing at the Arcata?
I think they are going to be opening for Juan Crucier's, other voice of Rat.
Maybe Ron will be Juan will be the other voice of Grinder Nig.
Right.
Grinder Nig. Well, that Jason Bonham evening show is fucking amazing. I've seen it, obviously.
It hasn't been close to me, and it came up on my notifications, and my nephew literally lives minutes from that area, and I said, grab us some tickets.
Nice.
I'll pay.
Nice. You'll have dude, that show is so good.
And before I knew it, he was just like, well, his brother, my other nephew, he says he's coming too.
And okay, cool.
It's going to be a cool thing. Three dudes out on the town looking for pussy and cocaine.
Yeah.
And going to see Zeppelin, man.
Yeah, man. We'll
bang a couple hookers before the show, snort some blow, get fucked up and see some Zeppelin, man.
Song remains the same, motherfucker.
Right. In small town Indiana.
That's right. The perfect place to see a Led Zeppelin band. Yeah, it's such a great show. I mean, I haven't seen it in a few years now. I want to see it again. It's so good.
Well, it hasn't been anywhere near me, and I was just like, grab tickets, dude. We got to go.
I was going to go last winter, I guess, a year ago, but the fucking tickets were like $250. And I was like,
they weren't that expensive here. I think they were $80 a piece.
See, 80 I would have spent. 250 I was not doing.
Right.
I wouldn't, you know, not for Jason Bonham.
Right.
Now, if it's Robert Plant, maybe, but Jason Bonham, no.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to the show.
That's cool. Well, that's cool, man. That'll be good. That'll be fun.
So I meant to tell you that last week, but since we're talking about going out to see shows,
yeah,
that's what I'm really looking forward to.
That'll be fun, man. Hell yeah.
Yep. Good stuff.
Jackal wants a $1 refund for no show next week.
Oh, maybe we'll
Maybe we'll cut a Wednesday segment.
Yeah.
We might cut a Wednesday segment. You don't know. And we gave you one last week.
Yeah.
The Hannah Gatsby. We'll make it worth your while.
Yeah, sure. All right.
All right. So take it away, sir. I could do more topics.
I'm trying to decide what to go with here. Okay. Well, let's talk about something within our age range here, shall we?
All right.
I don't know what term would be surprising or not, but it is, I guess it is surprising. So get this. Sexually transmitted infection rates have risen sharply among adults 55 years and older.
Okay. All right.
Sexually transmitted infections are becoming more common in older adults.
Right.
Rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis in people ages 55 and up are more than doubled in the U.S. over the 10-year period from 2012 to 2022, according to the data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Makes sense.
So it does?
To me, it does, yeah.
All right, tell me your philosophy there, sir.
Why it makes sense that our age is getting more STDs than the generation before us?
You're getting skankeria.
Because we grew up in a trade partner's lifestyle, you know, in the 80s. Wait, in the 80s.
Did you say a trade partner's lifestyle?
Yeah.
But we grew up in an era of AIDS.
No one cared about that. Not really.
I did. But that's you. It's not me. It was
you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm saying most people, most guys our age, fucked no less than 50 girls.
Okay.
50.
All right.
In their 20s, they banged at least 50 chicks. Where the generation before was not that active. They were all getting married. They were fucking, but they were still getting married when they were like 22, 23. They were getting married younger. Our generation, we still fucked up with the marriages, but we banged a lot more when we were younger. And then once we realized that being married is a bad deal, then we banged everything. And that's the other piece.
So are you saying that the 80s, the early 80s was the era of unprotected sex? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying unprotected. I'm just saying sex.
But that's how you acquire STDs by having.
Here,
you're missing my point.
Okay.
Unprotected sex was preached.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily in the early part of the 80s
throughout
the decade.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Because AIDS became a thing in the late 70s. Remember when AIDS hit and everybody.
Yeah, when it was GRID, I remember.
Yeah. And nobody knew what it was and what is this? And it's a gay disease and blah, blah, blah. And, you know.
Yeah.
Then you got the kiss of death and, you know, everybody was dying of AIDS. Mm-hmm. They were having the Ryan Whites of the world and AIDS blankets and all that shit.
Yeah.
So that was 40 years ago.
Right.
So you're telling me now that the adults who were in their teens and their 20s back then, they're having unprotected sex now.
Absolutely.
Well, let me finish. Have
okay.
Getting STDs because they forgot the importance of protection.
Don't care.
Why don't they care?
Because they're not worried about living to be 100. They don't have a fucking marriage anymore. They're fucking single.
So it's a marriage thing.
It's a marriage thing, and it's a single thing, really. It's a if you're married, you're less likely to cheat, and you're also less likely to need condoms. So there's that. But our era is, yes, what, 6 of 10 divorced?
Okay.
Six of 10 divorced. You get busy, some fucking 50-year-old chick, you ain't asking her for a fucking rubber. Because half the time, and I'm being as straight and real as I can be here.
All right.
Most people.
That's why I brought this to the table, because I knew this would be a Chris Aiken.
Sure. Most people our age, they're not slapping on a condom because they're worried about getting fucking chlamydia. They're slapping on a condom if they think the chick can still have a kid.
So they're worried about pregnancy, but not getting the HIV.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if the chick is 50,
yes,
55, 60, yes, ain't no worrying about no kid anymore. So let's fucking raw dog this shit.
All right.
And that's why there's more, because nobody wants to fuck with a rubber. That's fucking awful. Well,
no, nobody wants to do that, but out of concern for personal health and well-being, should be a concern.
What are the biggest industries in this country? Fucking fast food. Nobody's worried about health.
I am. I don't eat
fast food. No, you are, but you don't eat fast food either. It's the last time you sat down and ordered a pizza with fucking double everything on it and ate it. Never.
Never.
Everybody else is listening is like, oh, yeah, I probably did that last week. You know, I'm just being honest here, man. You are the oddball, not the standard.
Right. I get it.
The standard bearer for our generation is poor decisions.
I guess.
You guessed, dude. Take yourself out of the equation. Look at everybody else around you. Every other person you know, your age, has made a litany of terrible decisions.
They smoke. They drink to excess. They're overweight. They eat a lot of food. They just do a lot of bad things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they'll do everything else that's horrendous for them, but somehow they're going to be responsible with sticking their dick into some strange pussy.
If they're not worried about other health related things, they're certainly not going to be worried about sticking their dick in a tainted pussy.
Well, how many 60-year-olds are you seeing these days where you're like, wow, he looks very healthy? Most times you see 60-year-old guys and you're like, God, I hope I don't look like that. That's what you fucking say every time.
I do. I'll be honest with you. I look at other guys. It's like, holy shit, that guy's my age.
Yeah. You think that guy's slapping on a condom because some other 60-year-old broad's going to spread her fucking dried up legs? No.
Yeah, well, my attitude is I'm surprised you're still getting some looking like that.
Because the broads have to. If they want to get a fucking free meal or something, they got to fucking take care of a cock.
Is that what it is?
It is.
My snatch is a free meal grabber.
It is. See, because when they get older, once they hit the wall, then they don't have the value anymore.
Yeah, well, I know that.
It's kind of like it's like these people that win the lottery, yeah, but lose all the money.
Yeah.
Women in their 20s, they've hit the lottery. They got the golden, sharp, great tasting, wet pussy, great tits. Everything looks good. And you're willing to do anything to get to that once. When they get to be 50, and that pussy's a little drier than it used to be, and fucking the tits are fucking belly button high, and fucking there's cellulite everywhere, guys are just like, whatever. I just want a nut.
Right.
And if you want me to spend time with you, you got to take the cum out of my dick.
Right.
Because unlike you, nothing dried up here. You got to fucking take care of this shit.
All right.
And that's how it is. And that's why there's more STDs, because nobody is thinking, nobody in our age group is thinking, I must be careful.
this chick's got some tainted puss.
Nobody's thinking that. Most times you're like, well, you're still alive and you're 55. You probably don't have nothing and you go for it.
Right. Now, that is a good synopsis. The number of syphilis cases among people age 55 and up increased sevenfold during those 10 years, while gonorrhea cases increased nearly fivefold and chlamydia cases more than tripled during that
time. Right.
A presentation to be delivered Thursday, part of the lead-up event to the European Congress of Clinical Microbiology Infectious Disease next month, warns that both doctors and older adults are overlooking the risk of STDs in this age group.
Right. See?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm dead on this one. I know it.
They lose their power.
They lose their powers. It's right.
They no longer have the power of the puss, or POTP, as I used to say as a younger fella.
Dude, you guys have all made fun of me forever because I've said I'll fuck anything. And I don't care what it looks like. This is why. I'm one of these people. I am literally one of these people that will probably end up on this study.
Right.
Because I will, look, if a chick's throwing me pussy, my big fat dumb ass is taking it.
Right.
I'm not, and I'm certainly not, dude, I know you bang only young chicks, but, but have you banged a chick close to your, when was the last time you banged a chick around your age? What age were you?
My age. Somebody who you know, who is a, you know, a pending client of yours. There was a 10-year difference there, and that was
12 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you were in your 40s.
Yes.
Yeah. When you hook up with a 50-year-old chick these days, unless you're fucking going half a bottle deep into lube, you're trying to drive in a fucking hard cock that's not as hard as it used to be when you were in your fucking 20s into a fucking not as wet pussy as it used to be, and get going. That's not with a rubber, you know, it takes away the fucking friction, or it grinds everything to a halt, you know, but you can spit on your dick. It's still sticking in and you're good.
Some jailhouse lube, as it
were. Yeah. I mean, spit still, we're here. Suck this thing a little bit. Now let's go. That's what you can do, but fucking, you know, worrying about this stuff, that's not our age. Our age is not worrying about STDs, which is why they're getting it.
All right. Well, here's to your point.
Okay.
We talk about smoking. We talk about diet, exercise, so many things, but we don't talk about sex at all.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is not limited to the U.S. In England, surveillance data published in 2022 suggested that STD diagnoses rose 22% from 2014 to 2019 among people ages 45 years and old, or up rather.
Mm-hmm.
Chlamydia was the most common, followed by gonorrhea, the drip, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
For one, people are living longer compared to the past generations and enjoying more active lifestyles in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. For many, that includes sex. A 2018 survey from the AARP and the University of Michigan estimated that 40% of people ages 65 to 80 are sexually active, and nearly two-thirds are interested in sex. Hormone replacement therapy, which can treat symptoms of menopause, can prolong sexual desire in older women, while erectile dysfunction drugs like Viagra and Cialis can help older men retain sexually active. But older adults may not have gotten the type of sex education provided to teenagers today. Back in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, traditional school wasn't really doing sexual education very formally. The research has shown that older adults lack some knowledge about the STD transmission symptoms and prevention. Are you kidding me? Older people go,
stop it.
I don't know how to get that.
That's just doing what they always do, which is taking the responsibility off of the fucking behavior. Everybody knows that if you stick your dick in tainted pussy, you're fucked.
Right.
Everybody knows that. And then you're making the choice. So I'm going to take a shot. I'm rolling and hoping I ain't getting snake eyes here.
Doctors can be sheepish about asking older patients about their sexual activity, and older people often aren't inclined to discuss their sex lives with peers or family members. No one wants to think that grandma is banging it out. I threw that in there. You certainly aren't going to ask grandma if she was wearing, grandma if she insisted on a condom. And that's part of the problem, because every individual, regardless of their age, has the right to intimacy. Some older men may struggle with condom use, the doctor said, because of their lack of dexterity or erectile dysfunction. I can't roll this down. There's lack of dexterity.
Lack of dexterity. Jesus.
I can't rip this package. What's more, he added, many older adults married at a younger age than is typical now and only had one sexual partner until they divorced or were widowed. I think that was your point earlier. Mm-hmm. So some might not think to use a condom, especially since pregnancy isn't a concern.
See?
As Chris said. See, you were dead on.
I don't need these articles. I know what's what.
Nursing homes also create opportunities for new sexual.
That's true too. That's probably more true than you want to believe. But those people, think about it. You get a bunch of guys and women together. They're in this fucking place. They all have dead spouses. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in this place.
Right, of course.
And they got nothing to do.
Right.
They're playing fucking Parcheesi with fucking Uncle June. You know, they're fucking bored. They're bored to death. So they just take some old hag and just say, hey.
Grandma's got to get her swerve on.
Yeah, let's stick your teeth in the cup there and let's get down to business.
Right. Nursing home directors said that they found sexual activity was common in these settings, which often have more female than male residents.
Mm-hmm.
In heterosexual older adult communities, there's a partner gap. Women live longer than men, and there's a larger portion of females to men. What it can lead to oftentimes is multiple partners and sharing of partners. Though STDs pose health risks to all age groups, older people may have a harder time clearing infections or be more susceptible to contracting them in the first place. The immune system is weaker, so you get an infection easier. But there's other physical things related to just sexual intimacy that makes one or more susceptible. Among women who are postmenopausal, for instance, the vaginal lining is more prone to tearing, which makes it easier for an infection to occur. The experts stress that doctors need to do a better job discussing safe sex with older patients. We want them to have their best life, but we want them to have it safely.
Yeah. I mean, you're not even taking into account that it may not be dick to pussy here. I mean, when's the last time you went down on a chick with a dental dam on or something to fucking make sure that you didn't get, I mean, you can catch chlamydia in your fucking mouth.
Sure you can.
You know, I mean, who's turning down eating pussy?
Right.
Who's ever said, let's wrap this up or that up, eating pussy? Who's ever said that ever in their life? Have you?
No.
Never. So even you, the most safety conscious, health conscious person, you still take the risk every time.
I do. I will agree with that.
So there's no 100% safety in anybody. Can you imagine that too? Hold on, I got to put a tongue wrap on here so I can lick your box.
Right.
Ugh, Jesus and, Christ.
Can you imagine the backlash you would get from your chick if you said, hey, I'll lick your box, but I need to put a dental dam on here because I'm afraid your pussy is tainted.
But you know what, dude? That's the same backlash that you'll get if a chick's going to let you fucking hit it bareback. If a chick doesn't ask you to slap on a condom, and you say to her, hey, let me get a condom here. A lot, I don't want to say every time, but a lot of the times, the especially older, the answer is going to be, why? You don't trust me? That's going to be the answer. What? You don't trust me? And you know, now what? Now you're in a shitty mood. Now it's like, oh, I better, might as well just go back and watch TV or something. Because this mood is over. So, yeah, it... There's a lot of reasons, dude. This article makes total sense to me.
All right. I just thought I'd bring something that you could definitely comment on. Puss with puss. Puss with puss.
Fucking Phil.
Oh, man. All right. Well, there you go. There's your synopsis by the all... knowing Chris Aiken when it comes to sexual dalliances.
Yeah, when it comes to being pervy, I'm your man.
All right. Well, I think we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show.
All right. Sounds good.
Do you need four songs or two songs?
Two songs is
two good. Songs is
I'm not
good.
Even gonna go. I'm not even gonna go anywhere.
All right. All right. Well, since we're talking about this, let's play some Steel Panther.
All right.
And let's play some Eatin' Ain't Cheatin' without a panel dam.
That's right.
All right. We're going to play a couple songs. We'll come back, wrap up the show. So here it is. It's Steel Panther exclusively here
on your classic metal show.
Did you miss the live version of the Classic Metal Show this week? Well, don't worry. Catch full replays of the Classic Metal Show every Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to noon Eastern. Video replay airs on CMSTV at www.cmstv.net, while the audio version can be heard on CMS Uncensored, which is available at www.cmsradio.net. Now is the time to catch up with this week's show, as the Classic Metal Show is available daily from 7 p.m. to noon Eastern. Hail and kill.